Welcome to those of you who are here in person and also to those of you who are joining us online via live stream or recording. My name is Chris Buckhouse. I'm one of the pastors here. And, you know, my actual title is associate pastor, but that's really kind of a nebulous title. And what it really means is that I get to hang out with students and young adults and occasionally get up here and I get to share with you things that I'm really passionate about in this faith life. And that's why we're here, isn't it? Faith. You know, faith is belief in, and we fill in the blank, right? Everybody practices faith. Everyone believes in something. You practice faith this morning by the very virtue of sitting down in your chair and trusting that it would hold you. But some things require different levels of faith. You know, at least to me, sitting down in a chair and trusting that it's going to hold me maybe is on a different level than, say, trusting that my parachute would open if I were to skydive. I, for the record, I'm terrified of heights. I will never skydive. Okay. In fact, I'm so terrified of heights. This just reminded me, this isn't in my notes, but I'm going to share it anyway because it's kind of funny. But, you know, when I was the director of building and grounds for Minnewaska Schools, I had a head of maintenance. His name was Larry. And he would tell me all the time, and this is going to stick with me for the rest of my life, because he would tell me this every time a ladder would come out. He'd say, you know, Chris, it isn't the fall that'll kill you. It's a sudden stop. Have you ever just received completely useless advice? Like that did nothing for me at all. Nothing. I mean, maybe it will for you if you're kind of crazy or something like that. But, you know, anyway, I digress. Where was I? Useless advice. Not in my notes. But still sometimes worthy. Hopefully you'll be enriched by that here this morning. But here at Alliance Church, we do gather together on Sunday mornings and throughout the week because we take this faith thing seriously. Every one of us is on a spiritual journey. And if you're here today, it is more than likely because you've been searching for something in your life. And maybe you've heard that church might have the answer. Or maybe it would be a good starting point. Many of you who have been coming for a long time, you continue to come back because you found that something. And you found it to be so good that you continue to come back and you continue to engage because of the love that you receive from God himself and from your church family. You know, regardless of where you're at, welcome this morning. I'm glad that you're here. I really am. And I'm excited to share with you from God's word this morning. And I know you have questions about faith. I know you have questions about life and how to live it in this thing that we call Christianity. I know that you have questions about God, but there is no better place in the world to be than here this morning if you have questions about faith and life and God. That's the truth. And I'm excited to share with you this morning. So here's how it's going to go this morning. We just watched this video about a missions emphasis month. The theme this year in 2020 is unfinished. And we call this missions emphasis month, but really it's a time for us as a church to remind ourselves why we do what we do. And not only to remind ourselves why we do what we do, but also to take actionable steps that not only help support the Great Commission, what we call the Great Commission here at Alliance Church, and I'll kind of touch on that a little bit later, but also to promote change in us as well as we seek to be transformed more into the image of Jesus Christ. You see, we believe here at Alliance Church that not only is God real, but he is the only God. And he's existing eternally in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we believe that God actively speaks to us through his word, the Bible. So we gather together as this church community on Sunday mornings and throughout the week. And we seek to learn and we seek to grow and we seek to be challenged by God's word, the Bible. And we do that because Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, commanded for us to do it. But he doesn't stop there. He also talks about this great commission, and this is a command that we get from him, right? To go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what he tells us our mission is here on this earth. He says we're to go out into the world and we're to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, this message that Jesus came to defeat sin and death and offer us forgiveness and a restored relationship with God, our Father. That's our heartbeat here at Alliance Church. It's why we gather together on Sunday mornings. It's why we do what we do. So if you're new to this morning, either engaging with us online or here with us as in person this morning, I just ask that you relax. We're going to walk into the Bible this morning, and we're going to do that because we believe that the Bible is God's word to help us think about God and to help us live well on this earth here the way that God would want us to do, and because we believe that the answers to life's questions are found here in this book. That's why we open the Bible. That's why we do what we do here on Sunday mornings. It's to learn, and it's to grow, and it's then to take that transformation and to live it out actionably in our lives. And then we're going to end the service today with some worship. We're going to spend some time in prayer as well, and prayer is really just a fancy word for communicating with God. There'll be text up on the screen if you have a Bible. I'd encourage you to open it and follow along. I'm kind of going to be jumping around a little bit in the scriptures today, so I'm excited. And I'm glad that you're here this morning. Would you bow your heads and pray with me as we prepare to jump into what God has for us this morning? Lord, you are so good. God, you are so good. I love you, Father. I thank you that these men and women are here with us engaging with you this morning, God. I am thankful that we get to talk about your church today, the body of Jesus Christ, God, and that we get to be with you in community. Thank you, Jesus. Please open our hearts. Please give us a willingness to be transformed through your word, through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By the way, I love giving Big Sandy Camp free advertising. So, Big Sandy Camp. Go, Big Sandy Camp. I love it. It's Christian Missionary Alliance's camp. We've got Avalanche Camp coming up, by the way. 6th or 12th grade students. It's coming up in January, 15th through 17th. I'd encourage you to sign up for that. Registration opens on November 15th for Avalanche Camp. I love the church, and I want to see her thrive. I love the church, and I want to see her thrive. I believe that through Christ, the church is God's plan for the world, and in Christ, I press onward to advance the horizons of a sustainable gospel presence through the local church. This is one of my core values. I have 7 core values that help me make decisions about what I commit to in my life, and I'm passionate about the church. I'm passionate about what the church does, what the church represents, and I want to share with you today why I am passionate about the church. In the Christian Missionary Alliance, we refer to ourselves as a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family. There we go. And Acts 1:8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Our heartbeat is to know Jesus as our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our coming King. You know, I'm the youth pastor here, and I want to share with you what our mission is here at Alliance Youth. So if you've got students in 6th or 12th grade, this is what we're about here at Alliance Youth. We exist to help students and their families surrender to a gospel-centered life. I want you to hold on to that end piece there because it's going to be pertinent as we go throughout the rest of the morning here this morning, this reality of a gospel-centered life, right? And we do this through cultivating a lifestyle of worship, connection with others, and service to the world. And you can find our mission statement online on our website, myalliancechurch.com/youth. You know, our heartbeat, as I said, is to engage Jesus as our Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and coming King, right? Christ our Savior, this reality where he declares us not guilty in relation to sin and God's judgment. His Christ as Sanctifier, right? This reality where he's continuously transforming us through the power of his Holy Spirit, making us more like him. We believe in Christ as Healer, where the Lord chooses to display his glory by miraculously healing hearts and lives, both physically and spiritually, for the advancement of his kingdom here on this earth. And we believe in Jesus Christ as our coming King, and we look to him in the future to return to complete his victory over sin and death. So this kind of begs the question, why am I telling you this? What does this have to do with the church this morning? And personally, I believe that this has to do everything with the church this morning. But we're gonna flesh that out throughout the morning here, but I want to tell you where we're going to end up today, and then we're going to get there through the journey that we have this morning. The church is the epicenter of God's activity in the world, and thus she is worthy of our full participation. John Stumbo said that recently in a video blog. He is the president of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, if you're not familiar with who he is. And I love this statement right here because it tells us that we need to learn to truly love the church. We have to learn to truly love the church. We need to culminate in us a desire to see the church thrive. By doing so, we're actually training our hearts to beat like Jesus's heart. And let me tell you this, Jesus loves the church. Capital L-O-V-E-S. He loves the church. In fact, he loves the church so much that he considers her his bride. That's crazy to think about. Paul makes this reference in 2 Corinthians 11, and you can find references in Ephesians 5 and Revelation 21, and we can find that all throughout Scripture. There's other places that we can go, but that's not really the direction that we're going to go this morning because I want to focus on our hearts this morning as it pertains to the church. Because it's my desire to see our heart beat in sync with Jesus's heart here today. The church matters. And if we are truly surrendering to a gospel-centered life, this life lived in obedience and complete surrender to Jesus Christ, then we will both love and fully participate in the church. There's no other way to reflect the heart of Jesus on this. There isn't. You can't get around that. You know, if you're on the church email list, I sent out the live stream link yesterday along with a bit of a primer for the service today. And if you're not, I'm going to put up on the screen here ways for you to stay connected with us. We don't want to spam you with communication or anything like that. But, you know, if you want to know what's going on here at Alliance Church, you can engage us in one of those areas, email our office, call the church office, and we'd love to be able to connect with you. But yesterday I shared a story about the reality of a fully dedicated life. A fully dedicated life to Jesus Christ, and one that reflects the heartbeat of Jesus. And when my son was two, Asher is my son. And if you know Asher, he's like 100 miles per hour or sleep. This kid is passionate about absolutely everything. And he's passionate about Jesus too, which is super awesome. But when he was two, we weren't at Alliance Church. My wife and I didn't come to Alliance Church here until February of 2019. But when he was two, we went to a church where we'd drop him off at nursery for the service. And between nursery and kind of the sanctuary area, there's a super long hallway. And in the foyer area, there were cookies. There would always be cookies after service. And my son loved cookies, loves cookies. I mean, he absolutely loves cookies, right? So I would go and I'd pick him up from nursery. And I don't know about you, but like, kids sometimes can kind of be really, really joyful when they see you and they haven't seen you for a while, even if it's like 5 minutes. The only thing I can kind of liken it to is kind of like a dog. My wife is serving in the children's wing this morning. She's probably listening to me on the TV right now. And why are you comparing our son to a dog? But, you know, like it's like their whole body wags almost in a way. They get so excited and they come and they jump into your arms and they just get really, really passionate about seeing you after a while. So I would always go pick Asher up because I loved receiving that love and affection from him. But then as soon as he gave me that hug, he was on mission somewhere else. He wanted to go and get a cookie every Sunday after service. And you know, the unique thing about him was that he would, and this wasn't something that would just be like a one-time thing. This was all the time. But Asher loved the pursuit and acquirement of the cookie so much so that as we would go from the nursery all the way to the foyer, he would stop and tell every single person that he saw about the fact that there was a cookie waiting for him at the end of this journey. And he would then invite them to come with us on this journey to acquire a cookie. And I'm telling you this right now, it would actually legitimately change the trajectory of some people's destinations. I'm not kidding. They would be on their way out the door, seeing if they could kind of sneak through without fellowship, and all of a sudden the joy would infect them, and then they'd be going with us, and we'd have this trail of people coming with us to go get a cookie. That is a picture of a fully dedicated life to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ wants to be the cookie in our life, but he doesn't just want to be the cookie in our life on Sunday. He wants to be the cookie every moment of our existence. And the joy that he offers and the anticipation of this gift of eternal life that we get when we choose to follow Jesus Christ is so great that, and this light is so great that we can invite people to come with us and it will actually change the trajectory of their destination and they can find that same joy and they can find that same comfort. His entire reality was found in the pursuit and acquirement of the cookie. He was fully dedicated. Church, this is a picture, right? An imperfect picture. I get that. You can poke holes in that all you want, right? I mean, or you can eat them, maybe. That would have been a more appropriate and humor-filled response there. I'm not Ryan. I don't have great humor. My humor's dry, but it's deep. It's oh so deep. The youth will tell you that. It's great. But this reality of being fully dedicated to Jesus, right? This picture of him as the cookie, right? This reality is a picture of appropriating the life of Jesus moment by moment until he becomes incarnate in all of our thoughts and actions. That's what this is. It's this picture of sanctification. Jesus Christ transforms us, and it becomes impossible for us not to share his heart in all things as we continue to seek him and surrender. It's not to say we never sin or struggle or find ourselves in the midst of brokenness. That's an all too real reality that we face regularly here on this earth. But if we are continually surrendering to Jesus, our heartbeat is going to match his heartbeat far more often than it is not. That's the truth. And when we do mess up, when the ugliness of sin knocks us down, when life gets us out, we can get back up by the power of God, and we can continue to run towards Jesus in this marathon race that the Bible talks about with a spirit of confession and repentance, and we can find ourselves embraced by his great mercy and his great grace and his incredible love. Here's my point. Christ loves the church. We're to love the church too. So what is the church? This is taken from our website. It's on our statement of faith at myalliancechurch.com. And this is what we have written on our statement of faith. It matches the Christian and Missionary Alliance's statement of faith. The church consists of all those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, are redeemed through his blood, and are born again of the Holy Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, which has been commissioned by him to go into all the world as a witness, preaching the gospel to all nations. The local church is a body of believers in Christ who are joined together for the worship of God, edification through the word of God, prayer, fellowship, the proclamation of the gospel, and observance of the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. If you notice, there's two parts to the statement of faith. First part refers to the capital C church. I underlined that on that first slide, right? It's the global, universal body of all believers. And the second part refers to the lowercase c explanation of the church. And this is the particular expression of the universal body that we live out here at Alliance Church. That particular expression is lived out in local churches all throughout the world. And you know, why is this distinction important? I think we need to recognize that there's a distinction here. And I want to kind of explain it like this. Okay, I want you to consider a building here at Alliance Church. All right, it's a powerful cultural symbol that declares the presence of the kingdom of God in our community. This building, it helps make the gospel easier for people to find. Okay, this building offers outsiders and insiders a clear physical location where people can turn to in times of crisis or even to begin their search for God. There's value in the church. This building can be a host to significant stages of life, births, weddings, deaths. All of these things are tied together in a story of God at work among his people. It's here we can find community, we can find friendship, we can find a place that's largely free of the anxiety that the rest of life kind of pushes upon us. And this is a place here at Alliance Church where our goals are different. We come to worship, we come to experience restoration, we come to pray, we come to fellowship, we come to relax, we come to find hope, we come to find eternity. All these things are good. All these things are important, but they're an expression of the lowercase c of the church. Don't get me wrong. Our church is fantastic, right? And it's important, but it isn't the large c expression of the church, at least not fully. Okay? It's certainly a part of it because the local church is part of the universal church. It's part of the overall body of Christ. It's how the universal body expresses itself. That's the beauty of the local church. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, the church is the people. The body of Christ is the people. It's not a building. It's not a physical geographical location. It's the people. And Christ himself is the head of this body. Christ himself is the head of our church. You know, the Bible uses a lot of metaphorical language to talk about church, but the most common one is this. We are the real physical presence of Christ in the world operating together as one body, his body. That's what the Bible says about the church. We are the real physical presence of Christ in the world. That's who we are. You know, when Jesus told Peter in Matthew chapter 16 that he was going to build his church upon him, what he was saying was that the church wouldn't merely originate with Christ, but instead is the tangible expression of Christ. That's a reality that blows my mind. And in some ways, it's terrifying. If I'm the real physical manifestation of Christ in this world, right? My life ought to mirror Christ. Because when people look at me, they see Jesus. Not that I am Jesus. I'm not claiming that. Don't go down that track. That's a dangerous track to get down. But the church has a job to be for the world today what the physical Christ was to the world 2,000 years ago, because today we are the body of Christ. Christ makes the church exist. We are one body. The church isn't just a group of individuals or Christians in any geographical location, like I said before, right? The church is supernaturally constituted body of Jesus Christ in this world. Jesus Christ makes the church exist. As individuals, we don't make the body by gathering in one place. The church is one with Christ followers everywhere. And this is important to fix in our minds because, as I mentioned earlier, right, the church is described as the bride of Christ. And when Jesus Christ, our coming King, returns to claim his church, he's going to come back and he will recognize one bride. One bride is who he will recognize. That means we are to fully express ourselves locally, even as we identify and unify with the full body of Christ and church, people of God. Right now, the church is shattered into so many different pieces, it seems impossible that this type of one body reconciliation and unity that the Bible talks about can ever happen. But that doesn't change the need for us to be men and women of compassion, men and women who pursue unity with our brothers and sisters throughout the globe. Here, within our local community, is where it starts. Men and women that recognize that Christ only has one body, and we need to spend our lives working to make that future hope a reality in the present. So let me ask you this. When's the last time you lived on mission with believers outside of our church? You know, maybe some of us need to ask a different question. When's the last time I lived on mission with believers within my church? Some of us need to ask that question and deal with the fallout of answers we might not like. You see, self-reflection about our Jesus-centered missional life is healthy. And if we are open, it produces change and transformation within us through the power of God's Holy Spirit. You know, one of the things I love so much about Little Falls is the fact that many of our churches reflect this unity. As a youth pastor, I get to meet monthly with the other churches in the area, and we are on mission as one body together. I love that. I love those meetings. I love those connections. Alliance believers and Assembly of God believers and Lutheran believers and Catholic believers. We recognize that the church is one body with one mission, and this is a reality that's unique to this area. I've never experienced it before. You know, I think the sad reality of why that is comes down to the fact that we've splintered the church into an experience that's no different than shopping for a new television. We go and we read the specs and we look at the picture quality and we measure the size and we immediately discard some because of different brand loyalties or things along that nature. And, you know, I have to wonder, as I was preparing for this message, a picture entered my mind of Jesus walking into an aisle of modern day Christians in America church shopping, just like they would be looking at televisions overall. And I had to think, how in the world would Jesus react today to seeing that type of reality? What would he do? And immediately it struck me that I think it would look similar to the table flipping cleansing of the temple that Jesus did, where he would come and he would tear down all these different divisions. He would tear down all these different walls. He would tear down everything, and he'd be throwing those TVs to the ground, and he would say, "Come follow me." And he would get to the root, heartfelt issues that we have. And he would step into the void. And he would say, "You know what? Focus on me. Come follow me. Leave everything else. Come follow me. And if your heart aligns with my heart, it's going to be all right." But wait. And Pastor Chris, what if? You fill in the blank, right? You know, I get it. I really do. I know that the church is not always beautiful. Sometimes it can be ugly. And I get that there's false churches and there's false teachers out there. I get that. I really do. And we should use discernment. Okay? But hear me on this, people of God. When we use discernment as an excuse to put my own wants and needs or desires ahead of another, or when we use discernment to fulfill a particular agenda that is anything less than the complete and total surrender to Jesus Christ our Lord, we are actually sinning. That's not what a gospel-centered life looks like. And it still doesn't change the fact that the identity of your church is still universal. It is still one body. Christ is going to return, and he is going to claim one body, even as we still have a particular and localized expression of that body lived out through the reality of our local churches. Alliance Church here in Little Falls, Minnesota isn't any less the church than a church that we would find in Ethiopia or in South America or in Russia or anywhere else where Jesus Christ is the center of everything that they do. The local church is the place where my identity with the universal church finds local expression. Each local church contributes to making all the different parts actually be a body. We see this reflected in 1 Corinthians 12:27. All of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a part of it. There's a beauty in the diversity that we have here on this earth. Many members, but one body, mutually offering ourselves to one another in the presence of God. And if we do that, if we offer ourselves to one another in the presence of God, we are going to look like Christ. And the sizes of our church, the way the building's made, none of that is going to matter. What really matters to us here at Alliance Church is the intensity of the mutual love our members have for each other and for Christ. We need to offer ourselves to one another in love, and we all have to offer ourselves to Christ. It's a command. And if we do that, if we do those things, we are going to act like Christ. We're going to constantly give glory to God through obedience. We're going to pursue holiness. We're going to worship. We're going to forgive. We're going to ask for forgiveness. We won't hold grudges against our brothers or sisters or people outside of the church because we realize we've been forgiven for far worse than anyone could do anything to us in this life. Jesus Christ has forgiven us far more. Our sin debt was way bigger than anything anyone can do to you here on this earth. And God came and he interceded in that. We're going to socialize. We're going to do life together. We're going to be intentional about including, and hear me on this right now, the company of tax collectors and sinners. We'll include Democrats and Republicans, maybe even libertarians. We're going to include everyone else. We're going to include people of other races, immigrants, criminals, addicts, the disabled, the mentally ill, the outcasts, people on the fringe of society, the unclean, the broken, the discarded, the people that Jesus would have sought out when he was here on this earth. And we'll seek to meet their physical needs, and we'll seek to meet their spiritual needs. And we will proclaim the good news of forgiveness of sins, of God's power over evil, of how death no longer has any sting in the light of the presence of the gospel of Jesus Christ, his church here on this earth. It is Jesus Christ who we want our heartbeat to reflect. The church is the body of Christ. The church doesn't save, only Christ saves. But we are the expression of Christ, the real physical manifestation of him here on this earth, and we have a mission. And we're the bride of Christ. And we need to learn to love the bride with the heartbeat of Jesus, even if she sometimes drives us crazy. Because that happens. Because we need to recognize that that is who Jesus chose. We are who Jesus chose, as imperfect as we are. He chose us. And this is the burden that Paul finds himself with in 2 Corinthians 11:28. In verses 23 through 27, Paul gives a picture of all the trials he's endured in this life. He says, I've worked much harder, been imprisoned more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And above all of this, he climaxes with this reality that above all of this, and that's a lot, I know I haven't experienced that entire list, basically. He says this, then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. How is that possible? Like, seriously, how is that possible? How is his concern for the churches more serious than whippings or stonings or jail time or starvation? How does that work? Are you kidding me? That doesn't make any sense. Until we get to the heart of God. I love the church, and I want to see her thrive. God has taught me how to love the church, even when she drives me crazy. The kind of love that God has for the church is the kind of love that rips you apart inside to think about the grief that it faces. That's the kind of love that God has. So this brings us to our takeaway from today, right? We started with this quote today. The church is the epicenter of God's activity in the world, and thus she is worthy of our full participation. And John Stumbo doesn't stop there. He goes on to say this. He says, why write that? I get weary of so many people hoping that something else will be the solution for this world. The election, the economy, these things are houses of cards. There's a reason for them, but if the church is truly the epicenter, we're talking about the gospel as something that can make long-lasting change in people's lives. You want to know what the church really is? It's the gospel lived out through Christ's people. That's what it is. The gospel lived out through Christ's people. It's the message of Jesus lived out through the people of Jesus. It's you who are seated here right now living out the message of Jesus Christ. It's you who are engaging with us online right now through the message of Jesus Christ. It's the message of Jesus lived out through the people of Jesus in our homes, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in the nations that have come and will continue to come to our neighborhoods. That is the church. That is the church on mission. The church is the epicenter of God's work in the world. So while other things matter, and they do matter, right? They have value. They create clickbait headlines. They draw our interest, and we should engage in them. But if we're not engaged fully within the local church, remember, the local church is the expression of the universal church, the larger body of Christ. We're somehow not operating within the parameters of the heart of God, and that's a scary place to be. Do you grasp the significance of that? You know, I'm reading the book Crazy Love by Francis Chan right now. I just finished a chapter on leftovers, is what it's called. And in it, Francis talks about Malachi chapter 1. And he says that the priests in Malachi's day were offering less than their best to God. They were offering sacrifices that were less than their best to God. They assumed that God would be pleased because they had sacrificed something. But God's not pleased. He actually describes what they were doing as evil. That's an intense word, isn't it? Evil. And Francis likens the priest's actions to leftovers. He says leftovers are not merely inadequate from God's point of view, unless we forget his is the only one who matters. They're evil. Let's stop calling it a busy schedule or bills or forgetfulness. It's called evil. Wow. Doesn't that just punch you in the face? Did me. The church isn't perfect, but it is God's plan. So let's engage it well. I'm passionate about this. If we learn to truly love the church, the bride of Christ, in the same way that Paul was burdened for her, we will be doing all we can to guard it and prepare it for the time when Jesus Christ comes again. I love the church. I want to see her thrive. It's my prayer that you get engaged with us on mission. Pandemic or not, let's engage God's plan for the world well. We have opportunities to serve. Okay, if you're watching this live stream right now or you're listening to a recording, it takes a team of people to serve in the roles that make that happen on a regular basis. We need people to learn those roles. If you've engaged at all with worship, as we're going to do here in a few brief moments, right? We need people to use their gifts and talents to serve by playing or singing or helping with the soundboard. Our youth and children's ministry always need volunteers. We need people to help with our Wednesday night community supper. We need people to help with our Awana ministry. Our greeters and ushers, through COVID, they've been stretched thin. We need people to lead Bible studies during the week. We need people to help facilitate our Sunday morning grow groups that happen after service. 90% of our Ruby's Pantry volunteers are those in the highest risk category for COVID. We need people to serve in that ministry. We need you to serve. Here at Alliance Church, we don't just do things to fill time or check off boxes. We do things because we are passionate about bringing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ into the darkness so that every man, woman, and child has the opportunity to move from a life that is dead to a life that is alive. That is why we do things. You know, we began the service today with a missions video, and I want to end the message today by telling you about some exciting opportunities we have coming up. I want to tell you about a chance for you to be engaged in what our church is doing. In 2 weeks, we have the privilege of hosting a missionary family as part of Missions Emphasis Month. These people are former Creative Access workers transferring to France, and due to the sensitive nature of their ministry, I can't share with you their names. Okay, I can't share with you anything else besides that. We're not going to be live streaming the service that day because of that. We want to protect them and we want to protect their ministry. But if you are with us online, rest assured we are planning to premiere a missions video for you on that Sunday. Those of you joining us in person, you will have the chance to hear about the incredible work God's doing in certain areas of the world. There are going to be opportunities for connection as a church family on Saturday the 21st in the form of meals. Okay, there's, weather permitting, going to be a bonfire on that Saturday as well. On Sunday the 22nd, there'll be further opportunities to connect outside of service. As we prepare to host these Creative Access workers, more information is going to be shared via email and other avenues about these connection opportunities in the coming weeks here. But I need you right now, adults and students, I need you to see this as an opportunity to engage as a church family in what God is doing as part of the Great Commission. The Christian life demands nothing less than all of us. Nothing less than all of us. To give God anything else is to serve the King of Kings leftovers. We need our people fully participating and engaged on mission. If you have the heartbeat of Jesus in your life, then fully engaging and participating in your local church, it's not a choice. It's a command. My prayer for us today is that we learn to love the church well. And that this love turns our hearts towards joyful participation in what God is doing missionally here at Alliance Church and abroad on the globe. The church isn't perfect, but it is God's plan. So let's engage it well. I'd like to invite the worship team up. Please bow your heads and pray with me here. God, you have given us such an incredible opportunity, Jesus, to be able to serve here in our local community, God, to be able to be a part of your universal body, the church. Jesus Christ, we serve you. We offer our everything to you. We love you, Father. You are so good. You have given us more than we could ever ask for or imagine. And I pray, God, that our hearts would be turned towards you in joyful anticipation of what you will continue to do, Lord, and that we would recognize that we can be a part of it. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Please be with us as we worship. Let our hearts be in the right place, God, as we seek to lift our voices to you in praise. Amen.